From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Monday edition, the publisher of the New York Times is claiming the Trump administration's characterization of the media as purveyors of fake news is not only divisive, but increasingly dangerous to reporters. We'll talk about it with Hogan Gidley, White House Deputy Press Secretary, in just a moment. Also, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo worked through the weekend talking with Turkish officials in an effort to secure the release of American pastor Andrew Brunson. Christina Arriaga, commissioner on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, will be with us later with the latest. And earlier today, in the next phase of President Trump's executive order on religious liberty, the U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced the creation of a religious liberty task force to ensure the promotion and protection of religious liberty throughout the federal government here in the United States. We'll talk with Attorney General Jeff Sessions later here on Washington Watch. Let me tell you something before we go on. We have a new tool for your activist toolbox. Okay, so get ready for this. I'm going to share it with you later. You won't want to miss this. It's just created, and it's something that you can use each and every day that will help you be a responsible citizen. All right? So stay tuned. I'm going to give you more details. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Okay, President Trump and the publisher of the New York Times, A.G. Sulzberger, clashed Sunday over Trump's comments against journalism. After Sulzberger had said the president misrepresented a private meeting, and President Trump accused the Times and other papers of putting lives at risk with irresponsible reporting. As a rebuttal, Sulzberger warned that this inflammatory language is contributing to a rise in threats against journalists and will lead to violence. But what about how the mainstream media uses the Southern Poverty Law Center and their hate list in their reporting? Doesn't that put conservatives and conservative organizations at risk? I think it does. With us now is Hogan Gidley. He is the White House Deputy Press Secretary. Hogan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks so much for the time. I do want to say, if I may, to begin, I know we're going to talk about the issue of fake news and other things and the dangers it poses to members of the White House. But I can tell you we have a new Secretary of Veterans Affairs. The Vice President just took the time in the Oval Office. I was just in there, and he took the time to swear in Robert Wilkie as our new Secretary. And after the President had done such an amazing job getting choice passed and also the Accountability Act, which was 45 years in the making, this president comes in and takes care of it almost immediately. He is really focused on protecting our veterans. We think Robert Wilkie is going to do an incredible job as our new secretary. And it's just one of those moments that, you know, even in those times when you see these successes like that, something that really means a lot to veterans who deserve so much incredible care, and they've been basically disregarded in some instances for a long time in this country. This president has said no more. We put someone in place that hopefully will get everything shipshape over there for our veterans.
Well, and that is a significant development. Robert Wilkie, I think, will do an outstanding job. And I was actually surprised the overwhelming confirmation numbers that he received. And I think, Hogan, it says a lot that the president himself swearing him in there in the Oval Office. A lot of times the vice president will do these and others. But the president has been very committed to the care of our veterans. And as you pointed out, there's probably not been a larger segment of those who have served that have been neglected in the last decade than the veterans.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. When you saw the wait times, I mean, you remember some of the stories that came out under the Barack Obama administration, how long these people were waiting. Now they can actually go to a private doctor. They don't have to wait. That's something that's incredible. And, of course, the accountability, where there were people who served at the department who just weren't weren't doing the job right. And now we can make some changes if needed to get people in place who will actually serve our veterans. Listen, they pay the ultimate price for us in so many instances. They put their lives on the line every day. The least we can do is make sure that they have good health care, and that's what this president has done. And it was just one of those really, really strong moments. And quite frankly, you'll see when the news reports will come out shortly, but Robert Wilkie gave a stirring speech before talking about his relationship with the military, with his father, his great-grandfather, his Bible, in fact, that he used to be sworn in by, was given to him by his wife's great-grandfather. So just an incredible history with the military. We know he's going to do an outstanding job building on what the president has already done.
And Hogan, you mentioned the media coverage of that. So I assume that tomorrow the headlines will declare how the president puts a priority on veterans and taking care of them, and how this administration is fulfilling all of its promises to do that, right?
That's exactly right. You must have been sat in a lot of these editorial meetings today. I'm sure that's the choices they're going to make when they go to fill up their front pages. It's the millions of people that will be affected by this. Instead, I'm sure it's going to be something about palace intrigue. Listen, if you give a reporter the option to choose to cover policy or palace intrigue, they'll take palace intrigue 9 times out of 10. Tomorrow will be no different.
Well, let's talk about the president's kind of public spat with the publisher of the New York Times, where the Times is saying that the president's labeling of fake news is putting them at risk, because we're seeing an increase of people that are turning off the media, and basically pushing back to what is clearly a false narrative on many occasions. So, let me give the White House a chance to respond.
Well, listen, so much of what is reported out there is fake, and I could give you example after example of people who come into my office and say they have a source outside the White House who says X, and I can say, well, I was in the meeting, and I'm happy to go on the record and say why, because that's not what happened. And they say, okay, thanks, well, we're just going to run the story anyway. And I'm my question is, well, wait a minute, the people outside the White House weren't there. And they say, yeah, but they have it on good authority. And I'm like, well, I'm the authority. I was in the meeting, and I'm going on record. You have a lot of people who are courageous, but they refuse to have their name published. I'm telling you, I'll go on the record and have this conversation, and they still run the story. Those are like the little things that really are unfortunate and have gone to kind of push people away from so many outlets of news and journalism, because it has gotten to a bad place. And listen, I'm not going to take a lecture about a dangerous environment out there for reporters when, you know, our own Sarah Sanders gets, you know, shouted out of a restaurant or followed down the street or anything like that, when Maxine Waters is encouraging harassment to people who work in the administration. Give me a break. It is dangerous out there, and I've had many members of the media tell me, and this is very telling, they don't come into my office and say, do you think this is ever going to turn violent? Or do you think, what's the next step here? They'll come into my office and literally say to me, verbatim, when do you think this will turn violent? It's a foregone conclusion in their head that one of the members of this staff will be attacked. Now, what does that tell you? Not themselves. They're not worried about themselves. They don't say they feel danger at all. Now, we're in Washington, D.C., extremely liberal. A lot of the reporters out here are championed and cheered when they go out places. It's quite the opposite for us, and that's part of the deal. We understand that. I'll end on this point, Tony. One of the things I think is so upsetting about that is there are a lot of men and women across this country who love America, who want to serve in government and try and make the world a better place, not just for our country but across the globe. And a lot of people just don't want to do it. They're scared to do it because of how toxic the environment has become and because of the attacks leveled at this administration, myself and other members of the staff. They won't even come serve in their government because they're just afraid. And that's a horrible place. We're missing out on really good people to come serve in government a lot of times now and in the future because of this environment.
Oh, I can attest to that. In the 25 years that I've been in public life and been in office and now as a advocate on the outside, I've watched it. And I've watched Washington in the last 15 years become extremely polarized and partisan. But I'll have to say, Hogan, I think the media has played a large role in that. I mean, when you consider, in fact, the Family Research Council, I mean, 6 years ago, almost to the date, we had a gunman come into our building based upon the Southern Poverty Law Center and their hate labeling, which the media gives them the platform to do. So if the New York Times wants to talk about the president talking about fake news and that's driving hostility toward the press, pushing them in quote, putting them in quote unquote danger, well, that's theoretical. Let me talk about what's real and what has happened is that the media has given a platform to the these groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center. Somehow this leftist organization has the right to label, and people act on those labels, and they try to kill people.
It's increasingly dangerous, and I remember when that happened over at your offices, and I remember so many people in the country prayed for you guys and what was going on there, and I walked by there consistently many times during the week, and I think about that often because it was such a dangerous moment. You'll remember the shooting at the softball game that was so dangerous as
well, and the
question ahead of time was, are these people Republicans? And that's what they were asked on the way with their guns to shoot at Republicans, and thank God that Congressman Scalise is fine. But these are the types of things that lead to violence. The lies, the untruths, the narrative that somehow, you know, we in the government are making your life worse. It's not true. The economic numbers bear that out. The confidence numbers bear that out. We're doing things across the globe. It's positive news so much. But it, as you said, we just got a VA secretary. That's going to be buried tomorrow. Instead, they're going to be talking about a Russian witch hunt, a collusion that doesn't exist. They would always rather focus on something like that. And that's so bad because they give credence to the people out there who are just looking for a reason to attack, whether verbally or physically, people in the administration. It's really dangerous.
It is, and as I said, I've watched it. In fact, to document the fact that I have, in times past, been a supporter. I was a reporter, actually, 25 years ago. And so I have a lot of respect for the role that the media plays. In fact, in a book I wrote about 10 years ago, I actually defended CNN for being a fair news outlet. But that was prior, actually, it was more than 10 years ago. It was prior to Barack Obama. During the Obama administration, that's when we saw this polarization that, I tell you, at some point in time, the media is going to have to say, look, we all need to dial it back and step back because it is inciting not just internal hatred, but outward violence.
It is, and that's where this thing, as I mentioned, we fear it could go in many instances because of the toxicity of the coverage and the way people talk about the president and the administration. I mean, to hear some of the comments that these pundits make, that these people who hold office, the way they talk about fellow Americans, it's leading to a place that we dare not go, and I hope they start to clean it up and stop engaging in this type of behavior.
Well, Hogan Gidley, great to talk with you. Thanks for coming on today. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Tony. Thanks for the time. God bless.
All right, Hogan Gidley, Deputy Press Secretary at the White House. All right, coming up next, more news out of Turkey. Not only did the Secretary of State work through the weekend to try to secure the release of Andrew Brunson, but his attorney there in Turkey, his Turkish attorney, calling for Pastor Brunson to be released from the country, from house arrest. Christina Arriaga, Commissioner on the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom, is here next with the latest. Don't go away.
You've seen the news. Christian cake bakers and florists were targeted by LGBT activists for their beliefs about marriage and forced out of business. The Christian adoption providers are also being targeted for believing that children deserve a mother and a father to raise them. In 3 states and 2 large cities, faith-based adoption providers have been forced out of providing needy children with stable homes because of their beliefs about marriage, and this trend shows no signs of stopping. With the adoption rate in the United States steadily dropping for the last 17 years, discriminating against faith-based adoption providers will only make the problem worse by forcing agencies who serve children in need of loving families out of the marketplace. This is why laws are needed to protect these agencies at the federal and state level. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/adoption.
Let's keep the momentum going in this fall's election by voting your values. If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand for biblical truth and fight for faith, family, and freedom in the public square. To be equipped for this mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st through 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Invited and confirmed speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Diamond and Silk, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. On September 21st through 23rd, stand with Values Voters to keep the momentum going. Visit valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808 for more information.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, here's what you can find at TonyPerkins.com. As I mentioned, a new tool for the Activist Toolbox. We have a new app. It's called the Stand Firm app. And with it, we're building a nationwide network of activists. You've heard on the news recently about the social media company shadow banning or censoring conservatives and Christian material. Well, this is the way you get around it. Directly connected to FRC, to Washington Watch. In fact, you can get your daily alert if you, if you've got friends that do not have a station that airs Washington Watch, you can get it right there on the app. We have alerts when you need to take action. With your member of Congress, it can be tailored so that you know when to reach out to your member of Congress and what you need to tell them. It's all right there on your smartphone. Your smartphone just got smarter. Download the app, Stand Firm app. Now, you can get it real easy. Either go to the App Store or go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. We'll take you right over to the App Store where you can get the Stand Firm app and in your pocket everything you need to be a responsible citizen to make a difference. That's the Stand Firm app. Go to TonyPerkins.com and get it today. Share it with your friends so that they can have it as well. Okay, over the weekend, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo talking with Turkey's foreign minister about the case with Pastor Andrew Brunson. The situation has become rather tense after the president last week and the vice president saying that serious sanctions would be on the way unless Pastor Brunson was released completely. He's now in house arrest after 21 months of being in prison, in a Turkish prison, but it is not a safe environment. Joining me now is Christina Arriaga. She is a member, a commissioner, one of my fellow commissioners on the United States Commission on International Religious Liberty, and she was with us last week as well. Christina, welcome back to Washington Watch. Christina, you there? I think we may have lost her for a moment. But there's some new news coming out of Turkey just today. In addition to this, the administration continues to work to secure the release of Pastor Brunson. Still an issue where we need to be praying, but I will tell you, the Secretary of State has taken this on. He is kind of the point person now for this, working, as I said, through the weekend, trying to secure the release of Pastor Brunson. And today, the news out of Turkey is that his Turkish attorney, concerned about the situation, is also asking that Pastor Brunson be allowed to leave his home and leave Turkey and come back to the United States. So I think we've got Christina now. Christina, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, thank you. I'm sorry I lost you there for a moment.
That's all right. So we were just discussing the Secretary of State working through the weekend on the case of Pastor Brunson, but news out of Turkey today that Pastor Brunson's own attorney, a Turkish attorney, calling upon the government to release him as well.
Yes, the situation has become incredibly tense, and he's Pastor Andrew Brunson's incredibly courageous attorney has gone to the government in Turkey and demanded that Pastor Brunson not only be released from house arrest, but that the ban for him to travel abroad be lifted. There's a lot of speculation that Pastor Brunson is no longer in a secure place. There has been an indication that there may be mob organized around his apartment, and I'm sure both the Brunsons and the lawyer are very fearful for their own lives.
Yeah, I think people need to realize, Christina, that the issue of religious freedom in Turkey and other countries like that is not just government prosecution or government action against someone, but it's also government inaction against those who, the vigilantes, who would go after Christians, or in this case, Pastor Brunson, who has been accused, falsely accused, and the government not provide the protection as we might see here in the United States.
Yes, unfortunately in Turkey, the press, the radio, all television media has been taken over by the government, and the government has a long history of making up fantastical stories about Christians in Turkey and accusing Christians of trying to subvert the government by spreading the gospel. This is one of the main charges against Pastor Andrew Brunson, and it would not be unheard of that the Turkish government would plant stories in the press to incite Pastor Brunson's neighbors in Izmir to go to his apartment and attack him. And there are apparently two Turkish guards in front of the building, but if there were a mob of people in front of the building, they would not be able to do much about it.
So his own attorney recognizing this in calling upon the government to allow him to travel out of the country. The next court hearing is October the 12th. That's a long time to remain in a vulnerable situation such as he is presently in.
It must be incredibly stressful for Pastor Brunson and his wife. He has a detection mechanism around his ankle. He cannot leave his apartment. I'm unsure that his wife feels comfortable leaving him alone. And what the lawyer has requested is that that device be removed and that Pastor Brunson be allowed to report to the police station once a week and be allowed to travel outside of his house. Let's see if that happens. Unfortunately, the statements from Turkey have been quite negative, and they have said repeatedly over the weekend and even this morning that Turkey is a country that respects the rule of law, and therefore they must allow the legal system to take its course. That is, of course, entirely false. We all know that Turkey has a judicial system is deeply compromised. We'll see what happens with it.
All right, Christina Arriaga, thank you so much for joining us again with the latest on Pastor Brunson.
Thank you.
And the sanctions are moving forward on behalf of the United States, including in the National Defense Authorization Act, where the restriction of the F-35 fighter jets in Turkey, saying that they will go to arbitration with the international courts to force the United States to sell them military equipment. That'll be interesting. All right, when we come back, the Department of Justice announcing today a Religious Liberty Task Force to protect religious liberty here at home. The Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, joins us next on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
You've seen the news. Christian cake bakers and florists were targeted by LGBT activists for their beliefs about marriage and forced out of business. The Christian adoption providers are also being targeted for believing that children deserve a mother and a father to raise them. In 3 states and 2 large cities, faith-based adoption providers have been forced out of providing needy children with stable homes because of their beliefs about marriage, and this trend shows no signs of stopping. With the adoption rate in the United States steadily dropping for the last 17 years, discriminating against faith-based adoption providers will only make the problem worse by forcing agencies who serve children in need of loving families out of the marketplace. This is why laws are needed to protect these agencies at the federal and state level. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/adoption.
Let's keep the momentum going in this fall's election by voting your values. If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand for biblical truth and fight for faith, family, and freedom in the public square. To be equipped for this mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st through 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Invited and confirmed speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Diamond and Silk, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. On September 21st through 23rd, stand with Values Voters to keep the momentum going. Visit valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808 for more information.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And don't forget to download the app, Stand Firm app. Everything you need to be a responsible citizen in our republic. All right, we were talking about Pastor Brunson and the attack on religious liberty around the globe last week. Secretary of State hosting the first ever ministerial to advance religious freedom. But, you know, in order for us to have credibility abroad, we've got to be consistent in our defense and upholding of the first freedom, the freedom of religion here at home. And to further the initiative of this administration to do just that, today, the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, announced the creation of a task force, a religious liberty task force, to carry out the president's executive order on religious freedom throughout the federal government. And joining us now is the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. Attorney General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It's good to talk to you.
Well, was the timing intentional that on the heels of talking about international religious freedom that under your leadership of the Department of Justice tasked by the president to ensure that the federal government, the agencies within the federal government are respecting religious liberty, that you made your announcement this week?
Well, it's been part of what we are planning to do. The president, as part of his commitment to protect religious liberty, which I believe he's honored, he directed me and the Department of Justice to develop a religious liberty memorandum that goes to all the government agencies and that directs them that they are not to discriminate against people improperly. It sets forth legal principles about how and what the government can do as it impacts the free exercise of religion in America, and we're real pleased with it. We got really good comments and support from people, students of religious liberty, who have supported it, and we're excited about that. And so this task force will really be designed to make sure that we're following through, not to lose momentum, and to ensure that every agency, even down into the sub-agencies that issue guidance and rules and regulations, are doing so consistent with religious liberty.
Well, and I applaud you, Mr. Sessions, for doing that, because I think it is extremely important. It is our first freedom. If we cannot uphold religious freedom, we stand at risk of losing all of the other freedoms.
Tony, you're right. I mean, you know, they talk about the First Amendment and free speech, but the First Amendment commences with the freedom of religion. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That comes before speech in the First Amendment.
Right.
It's a fundamental,
and the media.
Right. You know, our founders, I just went back and read the religious freedom, statute of religious freedom in Virginia that Jefferson and Madison worked on, and Madison's writings some years later, in a debate over law of the remonstrance. But they make clear that the right, your freedom of religion, your right to worship as you see fit, pre-exists the state. It is not mm-hmm. subject to control by the state. That's what they had understood in the First Amendment.
Right.
And that's the
right.
way we've understood this since the beginning of this republic, except in recent decades.
Right.
We've seen an erosion of that that I think is pretty significant. I'm sure you feel the same way, that something is going awry. And we're pushing back to try to restore the classic respect for men and women of faith that was enshrined in our Constitution and laws.
And you talk about that classic respect. It is also of the classical notion of worship and the freedom of worship, which encompassed every aspect of life, that it was not just what happened within the four walls of a church, but it was how one raised their children, how they conducted business in the marketplace. And so as in the Christian tradition, we see our work, everything about us, as being a part of that worship.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And the Constitution gives us the right to speak, but it also, when it comes to religion, it says you can't prohibit the free exercise of our religious beliefs. That's what's, I think, been lost. People have emphasized the prohibition on establishing a national church, but they haven't emphasized sufficiently and have forgotten the guarantee that you can freely exercise your religion. And when the government sets policies and rules and imposes controls over Little Sisters of the Poor, for example, requiring them to violate deeply held religious beliefs for no good reason, then I think we can say the government has overreached, and we were proud to push back on behalf of the Little Sisters of the Poor and our work.
Well, Mr. Attorney General, I will say that I cannot think of anything more important than preserving and protecting and promoting that fundamental freedom of religion. And if America will lead the way, it'll have an impact around the globe. And I want to applaud you for your efforts.
Well, thank you. We're going to stay at it. And we want every minister and every Christian and every person of any other faith to feel like that they can express themselves and within the constitutional provisions exercise their religion freely.
All right. Thanks so much, Attorney General, for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
All right. Attorney General Jeff Sessions. What do you think? Let's talk about it when we come back right here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We open up the phone lines to talk about the Attorney General's task force to protect and promote religious freedom.
You've seen the news. Christian cake bakers and florists were targeted by LGBT activists for their beliefs about marriage and forced out of business. The Christian adoption providers are also being targeted for believing that children deserve a mother and a father to raise them. In three states and two large cities, faith-based adoption providers have been forced out of providing needy children with stable homes because of their beliefs about marriage, and this trend shows no signs of stopping. With the adoption rate in the United States steadily dropping for the last 17 years, discriminating against faith-based adoption providers will only make the problem worse by forcing agencies who serve children in need of loving families out of the marketplace. This is why laws are needed to protect these agencies at the federal and state level. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/adoption.
Let's keep the momentum going in this fall's election by voting your values. If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand for biblical truth and fight for faith, family, and freedom in the public square. To be equipped for this mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st through 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Invited and confirmed speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Diamond and Silk, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. On September 21st through 23rd, stand with Values Voters to keep the momentum going. Visit valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808 for more information.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Okay, here's your homework. Download the app. Stand Firm app. You can get it by going to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. All right, here's the phone number, 866-372-7234. Some have already called in. We're talking about the Department of Justice, the Attorney General today, announcing a Religious Liberty Task Force. Now, this is in follow-up to the executive order that the president issued in May a year ago. And this is like the third phase of the effort. There's been a number of things that have been happening. Different departments have promulgated religious liberty regulations to respect. We've already seen its effect. Department of Health and Human Services creating within the Office of Civil Rights, the protections for people for conscience and religious freedom. And so it's already been felt. But this is going to formalize it and take it even further to ensure that religious freedom is protected. What do you think? What do you think about this administration and their efforts to protect and promote religious freedom as the president has laid out? 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234, the number to call to get on the conversation. And let's go to South Carolina, where Pete is on the line. Pete, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. A couple things. One is that the establishment clause is violated already. The IRS should not even have a tax designation for churches. That is writing a law respecting an establishment of religion. That shouldn't even be in existence. And that needs to be challenged, and that should be the end of that era. There should be no tax involvement. No, you don't even have to register. You have a church, you're a church.
Well, actually, Pete, you are correct in that there are a number of churches that are not registered. They don't register because, as you pointed out, they don't have to be. Now, many have sought the 501c3 designation, but many expert attorneys would tell you it's not required. So you're right.
And the other thing is, we need to start talking about, when we talk, Jeff, very great to hear the Attorney General on your show, by the way. But when we talk about equality for all religions, that's a wonderful egalitarian notion. But we do need to pay attention. We should have a, there should be some kind of qualification there, as long as your religion does not call for violence towards unbelievers and does not call for an overthrow of our Constitution.
Correct.
And that
Correct.
Is what Sharia does. So we need to address that. And Islam is a satanic cult that is disguised as a religion. It's a state theocratic doctrine, and there's no,
well, that's,
there's no room for.
I mean, that is,
you know,
the limit. Yeah, Pete, thanks for the call. Appreciate you your listening. I mean, the limit of our freedom is the boundaries of the Constitution. And so our religious freedom, if inconsistent or incompatible with the Constitution and the freedoms that all people enjoy, it can't work. Now, you can't, and that's why there's so much contention over the court, because as the court creates rights in the shadows of the Constitution that were never there. That's why you have this conflict over the courts, is because what the Constitution says is extremely important, because that's the agreement by which the American people have agreed to be governed. And our freedoms must operate within the context of that Constitution. And that includes religious freedom. You can't have freedom to overthrow the government. Now, changing the government by legal means, yes, but overthrowing the government by force or advocating a religious position that would call for the overthrow of the government, that's not within the context of the freedom that we have. Pete, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Tim in Kentucky. Tim, welcome to Washington Watch.
How are you? I hear you.
All right, go right ahead, Tim.
Yes, hey, I had a question. It seemed that during the Obama years that when various folks were up for jobs, like a judge or to be become judge or whatever, in front of a council of a committee, a congressional committee, that several times those folks were kind of set aside or basically told that they were not suitable for jobs because they were Christians. And that always really bothered me, and I didn't think that really the nation as a whole really grasped on that and really understood that, you know, people were being eliminated from jobs because of their Christianity.
Right. Well, and that has become increasingly become a problem in recent years. But you're absolutely right. Back during the Obama years, and even before that, actually. During George W. Bush's reign administration, there was, I remember Chuck Schumer was on the Judiciary Committee, and Judge Pryor was nominated for a circuit court judgeship. And Schumer blocked him because of his quote-unquote deeply held personal beliefs. Now, what were those deeply held personal beliefs? He happened to be Catholic, and he happened to be pro-life. And so that was a strong message sent there by Chuck Schumer, and that's been over a decade ago, that people of religious conviction, there's not room for them in the public square. The same thing we saw in a more vicious way with Amy Comey Bennett, about 7-8 months ago, was nominated for a court position. So you're
right.
Absolutely
right. Well, I think it's shocking that that a congressperson could even ask the question to begin with, you know, could even focus on a person's religion to begin with. It shouldn't even be mentioned. But it's just shocking to me that they get away with it.
Yeah, you're right. Tim, thanks so much for the call. It was Amy Coney Barrett, not Bennett. Okay, was attacked by Dianne Feinstein for her Catholic faith, the dogma that lives so loudly within her. And so it has increased, and there has been clearly messages sent that people of faith whose lives are guided by and directed by their orthodox biblical views, that there's no place for them in public service. And that, in part, is what this executive order that the president issued, again, a year ago this past May, that that gave birth to this task force that the Attorney General announced today, that will be promoting and protecting religious freedom. And that is the ability, as I was talking with the Attorney General, it's not just the freedom to worship in the four walls of a church of your choice, or not worship if you choose not to, but it gives you the freedom to live your life according to those beliefs, again, within the context of our Constitution. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Barbara in Mississippi. Barbara, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Mr. Perkins. Thank you for everything that you do to stand in the gap for us Christians that have seemingly lost some of our religious freedoms in the past by the past administration. I applaud President Trump and General Sessions for what they're doing to bring these back to attention to the people that don't know what the Constitution actually says about religious freedom and try to turn it around and make it something it's not. I just thank you for everything that you do and pray that God continues to bless this great United States of America.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara. I appreciate that greatly. And one of the ways that we can make sure that the work that the President and the Attorney General is doing on these issues that are important, not just to us but to everybody, is that we know what's happening. And again, you're not going to hear much in the media about this. If they say anything, it's probably going to be critical. So it's important that we share this information with our friends and support them when they do the things that they promise to do. And this is exactly what they promise to do. So, Barbara, thanks so much for the call, and thanks for listening to Washington Watch. And this is a good reason to get the app, the Stand Firm app, so you'll know what's going on. You can hear directly from the leaders themselves, unfiltered by what the president calls, accurately I might say, in many cases, fake news. 866-372-7234. Let's go to David in Missouri. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Hey, I just want to say that I fully support the Attorney General and what he's doing. I think it's unfortunate that the steps need to be taken since the religious liberty is enshrined in our Constitution. Shouldn't have to do any more to protect it. And then a secondary comment, I just think it's laughable that journalists feel that they're in danger. The only danger they really face is that they'll become irrelevant. I don't know much of anybody that really even listens to the news anymore.
You know, you hit it right on the head, David. I think you're absolutely right. And increasingly we're seeing this. And that's why I think the president was kind of poking at them as the failing New York Times as they're selling fewer and fewer papers. But, you know, they've done this to themselves by becoming really especially – they were the cheerleading section for Barack Obama. They've become the opposition party to the Trump administration. And I think most thinking people see right through it.
Well, I think that's right. I think that's absolutely right.
David, thanks so much for calling and for listening to Washington Watch. And I think the media realizes, look, the gig is up. We know what you're about. And they've just become unhinged because they find there's someone in the White House, there's administration that is not kowtowing to them, not trying to curry favor with them. And that, historically, is what has happened. That both Republicans and Democrats have tried to curry favor with the media. And this president, even as a candidate, which I was surprised, I'll be very candid, I was surprised. I thought he would kind of be the darling of the media because he's in New York and he's, was seen as being with the rich and the famous, but he called them out. He took them head on, and they didn't like it. But I think it was time somebody had to. And I think if we're to see the republic saved, it's going to require the American citizens, the rank and file, you and I, to take the responsibility to pull this government back out of the hands of the elitist who think they know what's best for our children and our schools, teaching them this pornographic sex ed, redefining human sexuality and marriage for us and forcing it down our throats and forcing us into partnerships with organizations like Planned Parenthood. You know what? People have had enough. And the president has given voice to them. And he's allowed them to engage. And for all of his faults, I thank the president for undertaking the effort to revive our first freedom. Not to bring a spiritual revival to the nation. He can't do that. Only the church can do it. But he can give a revival to the First Amendment, which gives us the ability to freely speak and live out our faith in such a way that it changes the world around us, that we share our faith in the workplace. We tell people the hope that's within us. We don't hide our faith out of fear that we're going to lose our job. And, you know, if we do, so be it. I mean, we've got to be willing to face the criticism, the hatred that is often hoisted on us by the left. But this president is ensuring that it won't be at the hands of our own government, which is a big change from what we have seen in the past. So make sure you get that app. Go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, let's go to Peggy in Omaha, Nebraska. Peggy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. Hi, Tony. I appreciate everything you do, and too, and we pray for you often. And, you know, there was a fellow that made a comment earlier that, why do they even ask about their religion, you know, when they're nominating somebody for a judge? And I'm thinking, yeah, I want to know, because if they're a really strong Muslim, that means that they're going to be pushing Sharia law, and I want to know that. You know, so, you know, if there was a person that was a Muslim and had a strong Sharia law, you know, background, and he was up for nomination, you know, would they still question it, or would they just keep it under the covers?
Well, Peggy, good point. And here's how that's done, because it is actually against the Constitution to have any kind of religious test, which is the issue that we've been raising, is that, like William Pryor is the one I was talking about, done under George W. Bush, that they went after him because of his Catholic faith. That's against the Constitution. But there are ways to establish one's judicial philosophy, and you're absolutely correct. There can be no extrajudicial understandings. It is the Constitution. And that's why these battles over the court are so fierce, is because we need judges who will govern according to the plain text on that Constitution. Peggy, thanks so much for the call. Sorry we didn't get to the rest of the calls. Out of time, but Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow, and I hope you will as well. Until then, download the app, the Stand Firm app, and you know what to do with it. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.